Title: Sampler Modulation Basics from Scratch Using Session View Advanced. All right, let's build a modulation-driven drum and bass sampler rig from absolute scratch, using Ableton Live Session View and the full sampler device. Not simpler. Sampler. And the big promise of this lesson is, by the end, you can grab basically any one-shot or short phrase, like a restab, a dark vocal hit, a bit of Foley, and turn it into a performance-ready instrument that generates variations fast, stays tight at 174 BPM, and is easy to resample into arrangement-ready audio. Before we touch anything, here's the mindset that makes this advanced instead of random knob twisting. Think mod matrix. Always. Source goes to destination, with an amount, and a shape or curve. And in drum and bass, we care about movement that's rhythmic and controlled. Not just wobble. Also, I want you thinking in three control layers. Static layer. Stuff that defines the identity of the patch. Envelopes. Filter type. Key ranges. You said it. You don't constantly perform it. Performance layer. Clip envelopes. Follow actions. Macros. Anything you intentionally change per clip or per scene. Printed layer. The resampled audio you commit and then slice. That becomes your final instrument for the drop. If you're ever wondering where a modulation should live, ask this. Is it identity? Put it inside sampler. Is it variation? Put it in session clips. Is it a signature moment? Print it. Cool. Let's set up the project. Set your tempo to 174 BPM. Now create one MIDI track. Command Shift T on Mac. Control Shift T on Windows. Name it Mod Sampler DNB. Up at the top left, set global quantization to 1 bar. And here's a drum and bass truth. Timing discipline is the difference between interesting and messy. Quantization is what lets you experiment hard without your groove falling apart. Later, we can switch quantization to 1/4 for faster jamming, but 1 bar is perfect while we build. Now we need source material that actually likes modulation. Pick something with mid-range character, something between about 200 Hz and 3K Hz that a filter and a start point offset can really grab. A short restab, maybe 50 to 400 milliseconds. A dark vocal hit, like oi, yeah, anything with a consonant and a vowel. Or a metallic impact, some techie Foley with a sharp transient. Drag an instance of sampler onto the track, then drag your sample into sampler sample display. And quick note, sampler doesn't use warp like audio clips do. Different engine, so we're going to tune and shape manually. Now let's make it playable and tight. This is the boring part that makes the fun part actually work. In sampler, go to the sample tab, turn snap on. Snap is your anti-click insurance when we start modulating start position. Loop should be off for one-shots. If you're building a sustained tone, you can explore looping, but today, one-shot energy first. Go to the pitch area. Set transpose so the sample feels comfortable around C3, like it's not insanely high or ridiculously low. We want it to respond predictably to MIDI notes. If it's a bassy sample, keep transpose changes small. Huge pitch shifts down in the sub range can smear the low end, and drum and bass does not forgive a smeary sub. Now turn the filter on. Choose a characterful low pass. Depending on your live version, grab something like MS2 or PRD, anything that has a bit of attitude. Set the filter frequency somewhere in the 500 to 2000 Hz area as a starting point. Resonance around 10 to 25%. Enough to speak, not enough to whistle. Now the amp envelope, the volume envelope, because this is what keeps 16th note rolls from turning into soup. Attack, basically zero, maybe up to 5 milliseconds. Decay, somewhere like 150 to 400 milliseconds, depending on your sample. Sustain, for a one-shot feel, go to zero. If you want a bit more body, bring sustain up to 20 or 40%. Release, 50 to 120 milliseconds. If things feel washy or blurred at 174, the first knob I want you to shorten is release, not distortion. Not ek. Release. All right, now the patch is stable. Let's make it move. Modulation number 1. Filter movement with an LFO. Open sampler's modulation section and enable the LFO. Set the LFO to sync. Choose a rate of 1/8 or 1/16. 1/16 with low depth feels like rolling energy. 1/8 with slightly higher depth feels like halftime stomp. If you go faster and then distort, you can get into neuro shred territory. Waveform. Sine or triangle to start. Because we want smooth motion while we calibrate. Set the amount small, like 10 to 20%. Now route that LFO to filter frequency using the modulation matrix, and bring the depth up until you hear movement, but it still sounds like one instrument, not like a siren demo. And here's a key concept, polarity discipline. If later you also use a filter envelope and velocity on the filter, Don't let all three push the cutoff in the same direction with big ranges, or it will swing too far and get muddy or unpredictable. Decide rules. LFO is cyclic motion. Envelope is punch shape. Velocity is expressive accent. Small ranges. They stack. Modulation number 2. Subtle pitch drift. This is not for dubstep wobble. This is for life. We want micro motion that makes sustained notes feel alive under drums. Route an LFO, or another modulation source if needed, to pitch or fine. Keep the amount tiny, like the equivalent of 2 to 8 cents. Use a sine wave. Set the rate slow. Half note, 1 bar, even 2 bars. If you can obviously hear it as vibrato, it's too much for this purpose. You want, is it moving? Yes. Is it bending? No. Modulation number 3. Sample start modulation. This is huge for jungle style variation and modern DNB grit. Find start in the sample section. And remember, snap is on. Good. Now, you can mod start with an LFO, but a smarter, more controlled approach for drum and bass is velocity to start. Route velocity to start. Small to medium depth. The idea is, harder hits give you a slightly different transient, a different consonant, a different part of the hit. That makes repeated notes feel like they're evolving, even if your MIDI pattern is simple. Now, if you hear clicks, do three things in this order. 1. Reduce the start modulation depth. 2. Add a touch of attack, like 2 to 5 milliseconds. 3. If it still clicks when you later resample, add a tiny fade-in on the audio clip. That's the cleanest click insurance once it's printed. Also, distortion reacts like crazy to low end. So if your transient shifts are slamming your saturator, you can high pass a little before distortion, even 20 to 40 Hz, just to stop the saturator from exploding on sub-movement. Modulation number 4. Filter envelope. This is your punch then close behavior. Enable the filter envelope in sampler's filter section. Set envelope amount around 20 to 45%. Attack at 0. Decay around 120 to 250 milliseconds. Sustain close to 0, like 0 to 10%. Release 50 to 120 milliseconds. Now do this important move. Lower the bass filter frequency. Try 300 to 800 Hz. So now, every hit opens the filter quickly, then it closes, which gives you bite without leaving the patch bright all the time. At 174 BPM, this keeps your mix clean and your bass phrases don't step on cymbals and snares. Now we'll build a stock device chain after sampler, so the sound has weight and is controllable for resampling. Add saturator. Set it to analog clip. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Turn soft clip on. And keep an ear on the 40 to 80 Hz region. If it starts to bloat, don't just EQ after. Consider reducing the amount of low-end feeding the saturator, because distortion multiplies low-frequency mess. At EQ 8, high pass gently at 25 to 35 Hz, like a 12 dB slope. If it's boxy, try a small dip around 250 to 400 Hz. And if you're going wide later, consider making the low band mono below roughly 120 Hz. The club wants your sub-centered. Always. Optional. Add auto filter after EQ as a second stage DJ filter layer. This is a great parameter to automate per clip, because it reads as arrangement energy. Add utility at the end. Use it for gain staging, and for keeping low-end mono if needed. Resampling gets so much easier when your peaks are consistent. You don't want one clip printing at minus 3 and the next printing at minus 12. Now the fun part, session view performance clips. This is where the patch becomes an instrument, not a preset. Create 4 1-bar MIDI clips on your mod sampler DNB track. Clip 1. Offbeat stabs. Notes on beats 2 and 4. Clip 2. Rolling 16THS with gaps. Think machine gun, but with breathing room. Clip 3. Halftime. Big hits on 1, and then the end of 3. Clip 4. Call and response. Alternate two pitches, like F and G. Choose the octave that fits your sample. Now for each clip. Open clip envelopes. Switch the envelope target to device, then sampler. And we're going to animate parameters per clip, so each clip has a clear identity. In clip 1, keep it pretty stable. Maybe a steady filter frequency. No big moves. This is your control clip, your reference. In clip 2, automate LFO amount so it rises over the bar. That makes the roll feel like it's building motion inside the bar, without changing the notes. In clip 3, automate filter frequency so it opens only on the last beat. That creates pre-drop tension. Super effective and totally stock. In clip 4, automate sample start slightly differently each half bar. You're aiming for a question tone and an answer tone. Two sweet start zones. Not random jitter across the whole sample. That concept is important. Intentional start zones. Pick two or three areas of the sample that sound good, like a consonant start versus a vowel body, and jump between those. It sounds like chopping, not like chaos. Now a pro workflow move. Duplicate clips and make A and B versions where the MIDI is identical, and only the envelopes change. That's how you get 8 to 16 variations in minutes, without rewriting patterns. Next, follow actions because evolving loops are jungle energy. Pick the clips you want to rotate. Open the clip launch settings. Enable follow action. Set the follow action time to 1 bar or 2 bars. Set the action to next or any. If you build families of clips, like a cutoff family, a start family, a drive family, then any gives you controlled evolution. The vibe stays coherent because the envelopes share a theme. If you're on live 11 or 12, you can also use no chance in the MIDI clip. That's probability-driven accents without changing the notes. A ghost hit that sometimes fires, plus a slightly different envelope lane, can make it sound like you're using multiple samples, when you're not. Now let's talk about synced versus free-running modulation, because this affects groove. Synced modulation is tight and engineered. TechStep and Neuro love that. Free-running modulation feels alive and liquid, but it can smear the groove if it's doing anything rhythm-critical. Advanced move, let free-running modulation handle micro-motion, like subtle pitch drift, tiny filter wobble, but anything that needs to hit exactly on a 16th, do it with clip envelopes. Clip envelopes are deterministic. They land where you place them. All right, now we commit. This is where speed happens. Create a new audio track called Resample Print. Set audio from to mod sampler DNB. Arm Resample Print. Now record while launching different clips and scenes. Try to perform an intentional progression. Lower energy to higher energy, then back off. After recording, consolidate the best sections. Then right-click the audio and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Pick Transients for more natural slicing, or 1/8 notes if you want grid-tight chops. Now you've created your own kit of modulated hits, printed from your session performance. That's modern drum and bass workflow. Design, perform, print, slice, resequence. Quick sanity checks before we wrap. This audio version is shortened for playback.